Thanks for listening to this episode of Orion's From the Battlefield to the Boardroom podcast. If you've ever wanted to create a stream of passive income but aren't sure how to get started, this episode is for you. Brent Bowers, Army veteran, joins the podcast to share how he's built a wholesale land company that has led to financial freedom for his family. Prior to separating from the military, Brent knew he wanted to pursue a career that would allow him to be more present with his wife and kids. With the success of his company, he's been able to build a business that creates legacy wealth for his family, along with helping many others do the same. In this episode, Brent discusses his military background and transition, the evolution of the land sharks, advice and resources for entrepreneurs, and the many benefits of investing in land. Even if you aren't sure if buying and selling land is right for you, Brent has a lot of wisdom to share about entrepreneurship and creating a path that allows you to live the life that you want to live. If you want to learn more about Brent or the Land Sharks, visit thelandsharks.com. If you have questions about this interview or topics for a future podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please send me an email at podcast@oriontalent.com. Brent, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Megan. It's always a good time.
Yes, I always enjoy talking to you. I know we've done episodes together before, but if this is anyone's introduction to you, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your military background, and just how you got started?
Yeah, so I got into real estate in 2007, got my license, bought that first rental property, got married, and ultimately 2009, I was like, I can't do this. So I joined the military. I needed a reset on life. I wanted to go back to school. I was in the military for 8.5 years, got out in 2018 because land, I started buying and selling vacant raw land. And I was just tired of that back-to-back deployment cycle, multiple combat deployments. First marriage didn't work out because it was just, I was always gone. And now I had a new marriage, new baby, and the writing was on the wall and the history. I thought history was going to repeat itself. So I started clawing my way out for answers. I kind of got into real estate. I was messing around with houses and that was super hard, just going after those dirty old stinky cat pee houses. So I found my way into land. I heard a guy talking about it on a podcast and I was like, if half of what he's saying is true, I am all in on that. And I love the fact too, that no one else was talking about land. I did not want to follow the herd mentality. I know about herds. I know what happens to cattle. They're eventually slaughtered. So I wanted to be different from what the crowd was doing.
I love that because I think that, we were just talking right before we recorded and it seems like real estate has been kind of like this, buzzword for so long in terms of people who are looking for a side hustle, become a real estate agent. And, it's just so, at this point, I would assume oversaturated. And again, to your point, that's just what a lot of people are doing. So I love that you decided to take the leap of faith and do something a little bit different. But I'm curious, do you feel like, I know it seemed like the road less traveled prior before you kind of started doing it. Do you feel like that's changed or is there more competition now?
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit more competition now because, success really leaves clues. So I think there's more competition in the cheaper parcels of land. So we've adapted and flexed with the land sharks as well as with what I'm doing with my business is we just went towards a little bit more expensive land where there's a lot less competition, but it might be a little scarier, but actually the profits are larger. It's a lot easier to sell that land. Other real estate agents, land specialist real estate agents will sell it for you. So it's been a massive evolvement basically from the first land deal that I did in 2016 to where I had to sell it to now where I don't do anything to sell these parcels of land except for send it to my land specialist realtor. And it took me years to figure out that those couple of things, just to one, use a land specialist realtor. And it might seem hard to find, but you just figure out who's selling the land in that area. And if there's no land selling in that area, I'm not going after it, because, you want the land to be in high demand. So you have buyers beating down your door to buy it from you. So to answer your question about the competition, yes, the lower part, the less expensive parcels of land have gotten, more competitive. Mm-hmm. But then you just move right out of that category. And there's ways to figure out, it's I think there's competition, but it's so much easier to be better than them and to answer the phone or to communicate or reply back to the seller or to be human, because most of our land sellers, they want to deal with a real person that has, mm-hmm. you know, the barking dog in the background and the three kids spilling stuff on the floor.
Right. I love what you said. Success leaves clues. I actually just wrote it down. So I'm like, what a great, I feel like that is such a great and profound saying, because I think a lot of people, when they're getting started trying to do something different, especially something like this, that is a risk, they might not know someone who has done it, but success leaves clues. Follow someone who has done it, learn from them, and kind of figure out your way from there. I mean, even you said you heard about this on a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And there's nothing original out there. I'm sure I heard that success leaves clues from some smart person, some mentor. But yeah, it's like, I'm so thankful for that, for just being out there listening, for me to take the time to listen to those podcasts and for the person to share it on that podcast. But here's where the rubber meets the road, is I took action immediately and got the results. Because here's the thing, if you don't take action while you're excited about something or motivated, you're going to forget about it a day or two from now. So last night, do you realize that I think only smoke detectors go off at like midnight? Like not because I had a fire, but it was, the battery was dying and it's beep. And I had to go through the house and figure out where it's coming from, which room, because there's like 15 smoke detectors in the house. So it's like midnight. 12:50, I think is what it was. And I had to go get a chair to reach the dang thing. And then my mind is going. It was about a business relationship that I had. And I was like, I'm going to lay here thinking about this for another hour, because it was like an hour later. Mm-hmm. Or I can get up and go to my home office and write it down. And I kept the lights dim so I didn't wake myself up. But I wrote that idea down. I've already implemented this morning with that partner, that business partner. And guess what? I went right back to sleep last night, because I was like, okay, I no longer have to think about this. It's on my notebook. I'll see it as soon as I wake up in the morning. So you can't forget about these ideas or these motivations that you have right now.
Yeah. And also, I think sometimes it's easiest to take action when you are excited about it, when you hear something and it sounds like a great idea, because the longer you give yourself to kind of sit and wait, you, like you said, you forget about it, or you just make a lot of excuses as to why you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. And in 2 weeks, when that motivation dies and you're no longer motivated to do that task or whatever it is, hopefully it's become almost a habit by that time. You time block it in, kind of like going to the gym. Like, I don't even think about it anymore. I just show up. Like, all right, I guess I'm here. I might as well do it. But if I start thinking about it, like, you know, an hour or two prior to going, I'm like, oh, I'm dreading that. But yeah. I just stay in that habit.
Love it. Okay, so you mentioned kind of the competition earlier in terms of like more competition with these smaller parcels of land. But I think that's probably how you got started. I mean, you did talk, or at least maybe I'm remembering this from a previous podcast too. Some of the real estate that you did prior, was it like a duplex or something? But can you just talk me through, I guess, really like the evolution of how you started and where you got to where you are now?
Yeah. And I'm not saying don't start with the smaller, cheaper parcels, because we all start somewhere. I was telling you right before we got on, one of my old bosses in the military, he just got his first land deal 23 days from coming into the Land Sharks community. It was a $9,000 net profit deal. I wish my first one was 9,000. My first parcel that I bought was not buildable, and the second one was, you know, landlocked. So that first parcel I bought for $285, and that's exactly the amount of money that the gentleman was behind on his taxes. He didn't make any money off that land. He just wanted to pay those back taxes, and I had no clue what it was worth. So I started calling real estate agents around the area, and lo and behold, one of those realtors offered me $5,000 for the land. So do the math. Five, you know, I basically traded $285, just call it $300, for $5,000. And then the second one that was not buildable, like, I was getting really kind of garbage land, you know, not usable land. But here's the thing. One man's trash is another man's treasure. You know, there, all land will eventually sell. You just got to find that right buyer and market it long enough.
Yeah. And so now you've kind of transitioned into the bigger deals. You have a team now. So you started out on your own. So what did that journey look like for you to kind of scaling your business?
Yeah. So right now I've scaled down. We have eliminated a lot of expenses because here's the thing, you know, as your business grows and as you start earning a ton of income, your expenses will trail behind you. And, you know, you have a few slow months and it's like, what happened? Like, mm-hmm. Where's all the money gone? So we've decompressed, but at one time we got up to 15 people. We had our own office that we bought and we renovated it. And, you know, then you had to pay the cleaning crew to come in because no one mm-hmm. wants to clean the office toilet. And then you got to have all the snacks and the coffee and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So now we all work from home. I have one part-time assistant, one part-time accountant that she just works for us, and one very part-time acquisition manager. That's it. That's the team. Like, and you could do this by yourself. Like, at the end of the day, like, I don't recommend people start going out and hiring people. Like, let's pay off your credit cards. Let's get some money in the bank account. Like, let's get $25,000-$30,000 in your bank account, and then get you buying some land to replace your income, replace your expenses, so you're financially free and you have time freedom.
How many deals, or maybe not even quantifying it in deals, but maybe like duration of time, were you doing this where you thought, okay, this could be something that I do as my full-time income? Or did you have any setbacks along the way where you were like, am I doing the right thing?
Oh yeah, I had a lot of setbacks. I made a lot of mistakes, but it was that second land deal. That second land deal that I bought for $500, and it wasn't buildable. It was landlocked. It was surrounded by state park land. I took the photos, I put it on Craigslist, I disclosed exactly, like, it's landlocked, here's where it's at, here's photos of where I believe the land is at. It's not been surveyed. You're gonna have to get access legally through a real estate attorney. Well, that next day someone brought $500 down. So I asked for $500 down and $400 a month for a total purchase price of $5,000. The next day a gentleman brought cash to my house, gave me a down payment. We did the documents, which was a land contract or contract for deed, saying that he was going to put $500 down, pay $400 a month until that balance of $5,000 was completely paid off. You won't believe it. He paid me off early. But when I got that first $400 payment, because I had my money out of this property immediately. So I was like, a lot of times when we buy houses, it takes us years to be profitable if it's a rental, mm-hmm. sometimes never. But in land, most of the time I'm profitable from day one and forever. We've gotten a lot better at this in those first couple. But that first $400 payment where he brought me that cash, and he would bring me the money to my house every month. Sometimes I would go to his house and pick up the money. That's the one that I was like, honey, like, I told my wife, I was like, Emily, we can do this 10 more times and we're completely financially free and I can get out of the military. Mm-hmm. So I knew from that second one that I was going to keep doing this, and it took me almost a year, and we had sold enough parcels of land where I was getting payments. Now, some I would assign my contract. I would do it like just sell my contract and make quick cash. Some I would flip. And sometimes I would borrow from other people or partner with other people to do these deals because I didn't have the money. But it took about a year, call it 13 months, to be pulling almost $9,000 a month in payments. Payments coming in every single month from the land parcels. Well, my bills back then were like $4,000 a month, maybe. So I was like, we can get out. I can get out of here.
What I think is really cool about this as a side hustle, or even just, if it's your full-time job, is that you obviously have made it your full-time job and you are very busy and have a lot going on. But for other people, if they just have, you know, these plots of land that they're buying and selling, there, it truly is a lot of money, and they're not having to do a ton of work for it. They're not having to go, like we talked about, real estate agents who are showing homes. They're not having to go do that, you know, multiple times in the evening and on the weekends and things like that. So I think it is just, I mean, honestly, very genius what you've been able to do.
Yeah, it is. It's simple genius. You know, I think there's two types of genius there. And by the way, I didn't create this. Like, it's been around for since before houses were around. I talked to a guy that's been doing this since the 70s. And, you know, he's I don't even want to say the amount of money he's pulling in each month. But, you know, it's been around for a while. But it's genius because it's simple. We're just buying land and selling it for a profit. That's it. But then there's the other type of genius, like, you know, rocket science stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm not into that. You know, that's why it's land. You know, I'm not renovating. I don't have unexpected expenses. Like this week alone, we've had a roof leak in our house on our brand new roof and one of the air conditioners go out. It's like there things break all the time on houses and everyone's like shouting from the rooftops. You can flip these houses. You can rent them out. That's the slowest way to. So if you're flipping houses, that's a job. If you're a real estate agent, that's a job. I didn't leave my Army job to create another job for myself. But if you're renting out houses, that can turn a job into a job as well because something's always breaking.
Right. You know?
But the land, nothing ever breaks.
Well, and not to mention with a lot of people that are doing real estate, whether it's flipping houses, they're an agent. A lot of people are doing that as like a side hustle, not as their full-time job. So then you have two jobs, you know?
Oh my goodness gracious. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And let me tell you, like it's called Parkinson's law. The task will expand with the time that you give it. So when I got out of the military in 2018, I had all this extra time. So I thought I had to fill it by scaling and hiring people and sending more letters and building. And then, oh yeah, we're going to flip these houses too. And before I knew it, I was running around like 12, 14 hour days, losing my mind. And my wife's like, I don't like you. I thought you were getting out of that stressful environment and then you just created one for yourself. So
yeah.
Like, luckily, you know, we all have to have that, that spouse that puts us back, pulls us back down to earth sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What would you say have been some of the key factors that have helped you grow your business to what it is or things that you can look back on really that you can think, oh, that kind of changed the game for me?
Yeah. I'm big on coaching. Obviously I have a business coach. I had a fitness coach. So I always like to see someone that's where I want to be and I learn from them. I have a sales coach that taught me how to be a better person on the phone and selling. So just being able to capitalize on their 40 years of experience, sometimes a couple years of experience, because if I'm starting today and you're 3 years ahead of me in the land flipping game or land wholesaling game or passive income land game, I can pay you a small amount of money to get that 36 months of experience from you in 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that because I think a lot of times you don't know what you don't know. So you want to look for someone who you can trust to teach you. But a lot of people are like thinking, where do I find that? So where do you find these coaches? Is it just through networking? What do you typically do?
And then let me say the second part of that, like you can tell me everything to do, but I've got to implement it. That's just as important as getting, like, there's a reason why librarians are not rich. They're surrounded by the knowledge, but they got to take that book and read it and actually implement it. Mm-hmm. So where do I find these people? I mean, Orion Talent Podcast, like these podcasts that you do. You find these people and you can go to these networking events and meet these people. It doesn't have to be someone on the internet. It could be your Bill in your own backyard that, you know, he's just driving this old broke down truck. He could be that millionaire next door.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What would you say when people come to you and ask you, you know, why should I invest in land instead of traditional real estate investment? You've talked a little bit about the time investment, but is there anything else that kind of stands out to you? Like if you were to give your top three reasons to someone why they should consider investing in land?
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a low barrier of entry. When I bought that first parcel of land for $285, I actually didn't have the $285. That's why I found the buyer before I bought the land. I found that $285. I got the confidence to get that $285 to buy the land. But let's go to my house in 2007 that I purchased. I bought that for $124,000. I got a loan for $124,000 that took me months to get. I had to prove this income. I also now am in debt for 30 years for this house. And then I rented that house out and I had multiple evictions. So guess what? Whenever that tenant wasn't paying, I had to pay that mortgage plus my rent. And I was actually stationed in Germany at the time. So it was kind of a nightmare when I came back from my first 1 year deployment. I had like almost $5,000 saved up. And I had pulled myself out of that financial hole that I put myself in back in 2008. And we had to evict that tenant that wasn't paying. And I remember my ex-wife saying, you know, I can't believe you screwed up this bad. Like, you've been gone a year and now we're broke and we got to sit here. You're on leave for almost 30 days. And all our money went to fixing up this house that got trashed by a tenant because you wanted to be a real estate investor. So I'll never forget that. And it crushed me for a long time until about 2013. I got back on the horse and for buying real estate. With land, I've never had a land deal that didn't make me money because mm-hmm. I'm buying these land deals at just ridiculous prices where I'm guaranteed to make money even if all heck breaks loose. Like,
yeah.
Let's just say like I buy a piece of land for $50,000, it's worth $100,000. And like if a lot has to go wrong for that land to be worth less than what I paid for it, you know, in a very short amount of time. It's not like stocks where some CEO can make a comment and your stock plummets. The land's always there.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, I know there's probably an entire process that you walk people through, but just like the very short version, if you can, for kind of how you're finding the land and then also determining whether or not it is a good investment based on either the location, the price, you know, all those different factors.
Yeah, I want to go where there's demand. If I go to a market, and we can use free resources like Zillow and Redfin, you put in your city, you do all filters, you select land, you select sold, and you look at what's happened in the last 30 days. I want to find those clusters of solds. Like, you know, like when we're sighting in our gun, we want a little cluster pattern on the bullseye, basically. So that's what I'm looking for. That's how I find the areas of demand. And then I figure out what it's selling for, how big the parcels are, how to price them, like how much per acre, how much per square foot. And then I use a program called PropStream. If anybody wants a free 7-day trial to use PropStream, go to the landsharkslist.com, pull a list of landowners in that area and start mailing them today. I mean, you can keep it simple and mail a postcard. You want a copy of the postcard that I used to buy those first several parcels of land? Again, go to landsharks.com/postcard. I'm going to ask you for your email and we'll email it to you.
I think just in the times that we've talked previously and kind of browsing your website, I can tell that you are very generous and open to kind of sharing that with people, which I think is really cool because sometimes when someone experiences a lot of success and they feel like, you know, they've cracked the code and they figured it out, they kind of want to keep it a little close to the vest. So I like that you're sharing it with people.
Yeah, we do a lot of deals in our Land Sharks community. So and people have sent me deals by just hearing these podcasts. So I'm buying anything I can find right now. Now it's got to be a good deal. And I'm also partnering with people that have cash mm-hmm. on the sidelines. So their cash is secured by that land. So I'm always looking to do more deals with people. If I got to teach you how to do it, to do deals with you, that sounds amazing to me.
Yeah, I love that. What would you say are kind of like your top considerations for deciding if a plot of land is a good investment? So you said it has to be a good deal. So what if I go to, you know, Zillow and kind of do the whole process that you outlined and I see a plot of land, but to me it seems super expensive and small. So like, how do you kind of determine what, you know, if it's a good deal or not?
Generally, I'm not buying land off of Zillow. I'm buying off market parcels from landowners that no longer want it. They either inherited it or they got it through probate or they bought it 20 years ago and never did anything with it and life happened. Mm-hmm. So my top consideration is I've got to get it at a discount so I can sell it for more than what I paid for it so I can make profit. I like to sell it on seller financing. Does it always work that way? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So you're basically just using those free resources to see where the demand is, and then you're finding kind of the off-market deals.
Exactly. Got it.
Cool. Can you tell me in your time doing this, I'm sure there's tons of myths about you know, investing in land and or even just like myths in business ownership, all the things that you're doing right now. Are there any myths that stand out to you that through your experience you've been able to debunk?
Yeah, I mean, people say there's no deals out there. Why would someone sell a piece of land in an area that's exploding? And I say that's a myth. Like you, like Dolph DelRue, he's a commercial real estate investor. He says the deal of the lifetime comes around once a week as long as you're out there looking for it.
I like that. And it is true because you do feel like you drive around. We live in an area that's been pretty built up recently, and you feel like before we built in the development we're in, we were looking for land that was for sale so that we could just buy a lot and build, you know, our own house versus having to go with a specific builder. And you do sometimes run into a situation where you're like, there's no land available. But yeah. I think that's, you know, I'm sure it's very area dependent. Speaking of which, where do you operate geographically?
Yeah, preferably in Florida. Right now, I'm buying a parcel of land. I just got under contract today out in Utah. So, you know, Utah, Florida, Colorado, but preferably Florida right now. I started this in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, and also the example that I was giving, that's very specific because that's where we want to build our house because you want your kids to go to a specific school district and all that. But when you're not buying the land to build on it, there's less restrictions and you can be geographically flexible.
Oh, yeah. I love the fact that like I just bought and sold a piece of land almost 20 minutes from me. I've never stepped foot on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just eventually it's just a numbers game. You figure out what it's worth, what they're selling for, what comparable parcels of land are selling for, and you get it under contract for as little as possible, and you sell it to someone for more than what you paid for it.
Is there ever any time where you've sold something and you get to see something really cool come to fruition on that land, or do you not usually know what happens to it after you sell it?
I don't really look at it after I sell it. There was one parcel someone built. They tore down this old nasty barn and this old trailer, and they did do something really nice with it. So it was really cool to see that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. What are some things that you've been able to do with this passive income that, you know, back in your time in the military, or thinking about that low point that you were saying when you were in Germany and you lost all this money?
Yeah.
Is there anything that stands out to you that has just been like such a cool thing that you've been able to do that you never thought you'd be able to come?
Yeah. We bought our, you know, so growing up, I used to get an invite to Lake Placid. It was where what I called the rich kids would hang out during the summer. And every once in a while, I get an invite over from a friend for a day, and I'd take off. I worked all summer long. I had my lawn business, so I take off work and go jet ski and tube and ski and kneeboard and all those things. So we bought our own lake house on that lake back in 2019. So that's one thing. You know, we take a bunch of trips. Like we're always taking vacations. You know, I love how Tim Ferriss called it like a mini retirement. So we take a bunch of mini vacations. All the time. And it's just, you know, we can do that because the money keeps coming in. I don't have a real job. I can do this from the road. I can take time off. Now, me, I love to work. I love what I do. So sometimes it's hard, but my wife's love language is quality time. So, you know.
Well, and it kind of, you know, everything happens for a reason. Things are meant to be. You're with your wife now. I'm sure it's nice to be able to spend more time together as a family. You know, it's kind of like leave the other stuff in the past, you know, your other relationship and the jobs that didn't necessarily work out. And now it's like you're just very cliche, living your best life.
Yeah. And there's always improvement. There's always something new to do. There's always another investment. So we take some of this land money and we put it into buildings. It helps us on taxes. And it's also another revenue generating machine.
Yeah. So if somebody is listening to this and they're very intrigued, which I'm sure they will be, what would you say their immediate next step should be? Because we talked about kind of like, you know, making sure that you take that next step while it's fresh in your mind. So what would you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, pick your avenue. Like if you're going to go into real estate, you need to figure out what lane you're going to go into. Maybe it's land, maybe it's houses, maybe it's mobile homes, and just start beelining and start taking action today. You know, another thing, if you want to jump in land, you know, which I obviously think that's the best decision. I wear a hat that says land and a shirt that says land. I love going to my gym and people are like, oh, you do land? But, you know, if I will, I will walk you through the steps. You know, I'm obviously looking for people that want to change their lives, that want to jump in with both feet. Go to thelandsharks.com, thelandsharks.com, schedule a call, fill out an application. I will call you. Or you can just call my cell phone, 863-801-6959.
When they go to the Land Sharks and fill out the form, is there like training courses that you offer as well? Like in addition to talking to you, like what other kind of resources do you have?
So my best resources. So no, if you go to thelandsharks.com and schedule that call, it's just gonna be an application to talk to me. Mm-hmm. If you want resources, if you want to like learn how, I'm on TikTok every day talking about how to do a land deal. So Brent L. Bowers one, and yes, the L stands for land. Or you can check me out on my YouTube channel or my Instagram. You could do land deals just listening to those videos.
I think last time we talked, you were talking about your YouTube and you said, don't you do a YouTube video a day or something crazy, like super frequent?
Okay. That turned into a job. Holy cow.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah. So I turned that off. So it's amazing. You built it and it's starting to produce fruit now. So it's really nice.
I'll have to check you out on TikTok though. That's smart to pivot over there.
I listened a long time ago when someone told me to get on TikTok, like before I even knew what TikTok was.
Yeah, you're going to blow up on TikTok. I feel like those Gen Zers are going to take you up on this. So what about your podcast in terms of, you know, additional resources? When we were talking before this, you told me how many episodes you have, which completely blows me away. So would you recommend that as a resource too? And can you tell me a little bit about the podcast, like guests that you have, topics you cover?
Yeah.
And also if there's any episodes you would recommend as a good introduction.
Yeah. Geez, I think it's 1260, episode 1260, that on the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I think it was with Alana Cohen. She was a single mother of, or she is a single mother of four. She just did her ninth land deal. But I think on the podcast, when we deep dived her success, she was only on like number five. But I think her third land deal, she netted $25,000. So for a single mother of four, that was a home run for her. And she was in one of the toughest markets in the country. New Jersey. But yeah, the Wholesaling Inc. podcast every Friday. Thank you for asking. I have an episode that comes out where I usually deep dive or put one of my students on the hot seat and we do a case study of how they made money in land, how long it took them, how they found the land deal, how they sold it. But you say it blows you away. Like it's just been around a little bit while longer than your podcast. It was started, you know, years ago.
Yeah. But I do love that you have people who have learned from you and have been so successful, because I think what happens, human nature, maybe you listen to someone who's really successful talk about everything that they've done and you think, well, that's great for them. It couldn't be for me, because there's no way that I would be able to experience that too. But clearly so many people have, and you've had a lot of them on your podcast. So I love that people can hear from so many different backgrounds. Single mom, you're a veteran. It's like there's so many different people from all different backgrounds who have been so successful at this.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just did an interview with Matt Coley. He's 21 years old. He just did his first land deal. He made $5,000 net profit. You know, that blows my socks off. That's way more exciting than me doing my own land deal and making $100,000. Like seeing this, I'm gonna say he's a kid. Like, holy cow, I couldn't imagine doing that at 21 years old. If I would have found land when I was 21, holy cow. I don't know what I'd be up to these days.
That's awesome. Well, Brent, thank you so much. I always love our time together. I always learn something new from you. Every time we talk, I'm super motivated to do my own thing. So thank you so, so much. Is there anything else that you want to share about, you know, anything exciting coming up in your business or anything like that?
No, not that I can think of. I mean, I guess one thing, if, you know, if anybody's out there, it's like, man, I wouldn't have the time to do that. I work a busy job. I make a lot of money. Well, I'm always looking to do land deals with others. If you've got some money on the sidelines or you're like freaking out about the stock market, we secure the funds with land. We pay you an interest rate. We get an insurance policy, a lender's insurance policy, lender's title policy. So, and we don't touch the money. It's secured by land. So I'm always partnering. I love partnering with lending partners. So reach out about that as well. Again, 863-801-6959.
Awesome, Brent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Orion's From the Battlefield to the Boardroom podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or SoundCloud so that you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you, so if you have any feedback, please send me an email at podcast@oriontalent.com. Our goal is to help all military job seekers through their transition and beyond, so make sure you share our show with your friends. See you next time.